This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's a great honor to welcome to the program Dr. John Kabat-Zinn. He is the founding executive director of the Center for Mindfulness in Medicine, Healthcare, and Society at the University of Massachusetts Medical School. He's also the founding director of its renowned stress reduction clinic, and professor of medicine emeritus at the University of Massachusetts Medical School. He's coming to Charlottesville, and he'll be speaking at Old Cabell Hall this coming Friday evening from 7 to 9. It's a free event, open to the public, lecture and book signing. Dr. Kabat-Zinn, how are you, sir? It's a great honor to have you on the program. Let me ask you first, mindfulness, meditation, what is this, and why is a renowned doctor talking about meditation?
Well, it's a great question. You know, over the past 30 years, mindfulness has become a much a discussed topic in medicine and healthcare. And it's gone from really nobody knowing what it is to really lots and lots of people having heard of it. The way I describe it is that meditation in general is a specific and systematic way to cultivate the capacity for paying attention in one's life, and the awareness and the sensitivity that comes out of paying attention in ways that we usually don't do. And what mindfulness is paying attention in a very particular way, and that is on purpose, in the present, and non-judgmentally. And that turns out to be a very, very challenging thing to do. In schools, for instance, you know, kids often get yelled at to pay attention, and you hear a lot about attention deficit disorder. But if you start to pay attention to the way your mind is operating, most of the time, it's not in the present moment at all. It's off in the future, planning or worrying, or in the past, reminiscing about the good old days, or blaming somebody for something that messed up the present situation for you.
Yeah.
So, but the fact of the matter is, the only way that we could ever change our lives is to anchor ourselves in the only moment we ever are alive in, and that's the present moment. And so when you learn to cultivate more greater intimacy and connectivity with the present moment, then all sorts of things become available to you that really weren't before, because you could say you were on autopilot or out to lunch or something like that. And a lot of it, you know, functions in the domain of thinking, and a lot of it functions in the domain of emotions. So very often we get blindsided or hijacked by our emotions, and we don't really have any effective way of handling them, whether they're anger or fear or depression or anything like that. And what mindfulness does is actually reminds us that we're not our emotions, and we're not our thoughts, and we're not the content of our thoughts, and so we can navigate in new ways, even when we're dealing with very old situations. That turns out to be rather liberating.
We're talking,
and
with
it's also fairly easy to put into effect in one's life.
We're talking with Dr. John Kabat-Zinn. He is coming to Charlottesville this coming weekend. He'll be at Old Cabell Hall at the University of Virginia Friday, March 12th, 7 to 9. A public lecture and book signing. The event is free and open to the public. Again, this coming Friday from 7 to 9 at Old Cabell Hall. So if I understand you right, you're talking about something a little bit differently than the traditional sit cross-legged on the floor, om, 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 and meditate. You're talking about mindfulness and meditating almost in your daily life as
yeah.
You're running around. And
although, you know, they are deeply, deeply related. So it's not that meditation doesn't necessarily involve dropping in those kinds of formal ways that we call formal meditation practice. But the real meditation practice is always how you live your life from moment to moment. So if you spend hours every day oming away, as you say, or
right,
however you want to put it, and I'm not knocking it, but there are many people that are like expert meditators on the cushion, but it doesn't really translate into real life in ways that influence the way, you know, we are in relationship with each other, especially around heavy-duty emotions that sometimes arise.
Yeah.
So what the work I do is really based on, it comes out of the University of Massachusetts Medical School, something called Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction Clinic, or MBSR Clinic, and that's something that I founded now 31 years ago, back in 1979. And there's a whole scientific foundation. For 30 years we've been studying the effects of this training on people with chronic medical conditions of one kind or another, including chronic pain conditions, generalized anxiety disorder, heart disease, cancer, all sorts of stress-related disorders, and showing that people who really have reached the end of their rope, medically speaking, by taking charge in their own lives and by cultivating this quality of mindfulness or mindful awareness, can actually make dramatic changes in their lives that even their doctors are often not only astonished by, but incredibly happy about, because your doctor cannot, you know, get your life going again. Only you can do that. So this is kind of called nowadays a form of participatory medicine, where in order for medicine to really work, the people who care the most, which of course are us, the people who are the patients, and who have the most intimate access to how we're feeling and how our minds are working and how, what's going on in the body, that we participate with our healthcare team in moving towards greater and greater levels of health and well-being. And it turns out that the textbook hasn't been written about how powerful that collaboration can be.
We're talking with Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn of the University of Massachusetts Medical School, Professor Emeritus and Founding Executive Director of the Center for Mindfulness in Medicine, Health Care, and Society. Would the corollary to what you're doing and the work that you've done and the research you are engaged in and so well known for, would one corollary be that we are just now really beginning to get a grasp of the extent to which the way that our mind works actually affects our health and
yes.
our body and stress? And if we can start with the thinking, we will have tremendous impacts on the body.
Absolutely. That the mind speaks to the body, the body speaks to the mind. In fact, they're not separate. I mean, it's a little weird in English. We say, well, I have a body. Everybody says that, right? But we're not exactly sure who's doing the talking or who's doing the thinking, for that matter, or who's doing the feeling. Because we just don't know exactly what we mean when we use the personal pronouns like I or me or mine. So there's a huge element of mystery in human biology. And yet it's amazing how if you begin to cultivate awareness of this, then a lot of the times, for instance, we get very, very stressed out because we take things personally that fundamentally aren't at all personal. So we have a very kind of narrow view of oneself, and then anything that crosses my path is a danger to me. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Right.
And therefore, we get all bent out of shape about it. But there are whole different ways of taking in the kinds of things that happen to us in life that actually can create a much more profound environment for healing, both physically and emotionally. And some of our research is really orienting towards those questions, and some of our collaborators are showing that even the brain changes as a result of regular meditation practice, and it changes precisely in how we process negative emotions, or let's call them difficult emotions, under stress, like anxiety, anger, depression, and so forth.
So for our listeners, give us an example of how one might begin to approach this. What, when you say practicing mindfulness meditation in your daily life,
yeah.
what exactly
yeah.
do you mean? Is it as simple as a Ram Dass be here now kind of thing?
It certainly does involve being here now, and it turns out that that's a lot harder than it sounds. So one of the ways that you can begin to make contact with the present moment more reliably and then sustain it is by getting in touch with some regular aspect of your experience that you can always use as an anchor to come back to. Because one of the things about the mind is that it just goes all over the place. Very, very, sort of wildly. It's just here, there, and everywhere else, kind of like, a monkey going from tree to tree or something like that. And what most meditative practices do, especially with mindfulness, is to first stabilize the mind by having it focus on one object. And the most convenient one, and we like to quip because you can't leave home without it, would be the sensations of the breath moving in your body. So if you just focus on your breathing, you can't focus on your last breath and you can't focus on your next breath. So de facto, you are whammo right in the present moment. And then if you actually, it's not thinking about your breathing, though, it's feeling the breath in the body. So again, you're in the present moment, you're also grounded in the body. That gives you a huge advantage in terms of then reading the various signals coming into the body and making choices about how to respond to them mindfully rather than react to them automatically. And often those automatic reactions trigger all sorts of cascades in the nervous system that just go from bad to worse. And you know, we start off having one bad experience in the day, and it turns out to be your whole day, you know, it's like a mess. As opposed to continually being able to restore yourself moment by moment, so you could have a lot of different challenges during the day and in some sense float not above it, but right through them in a way that has you more in the sense of the driver's seat and more navigating the ups and downs of a very complex world and a very complex life.
So Western medicine now is discovering that those monks who've been up in the mountains for eons meditating, and also, you know, Catholics counting the rosary. I mean, just this way of concentrating the mind has enormous medical benefits.
Exactly. And I'm part of those, you know, I'm part of the Mind and Life Institute that helps conduct that research on Buddhist monks in the Tibetan tradition, and now expanding, as you say, to other, not only Buddhist traditions, but other traditions, and finding out that there are all these universal dimensions to mindfulness, that it's not about Buddhism, even though mindfulness is spoken of as the heart of Buddhist meditation. It's never been about the Buddhism. It's about attention and awareness, and attention and awareness are not, as far as I know, the Buddhists don't have a monopoly on them. You know, everybody is capable of paying attention. Everybody's capable of awareness. And also everybody's capable of kindness and self-compassion. And these things are woven into each other in ways that actually have biological effects. And we can show that, you know, people with chronic pain conditions, when they start to practice this and begin to befriend their, you know, the sensations in their body, even though they're very unpleasant at times, they actually shift and change, and people who have, say, low back conditions that erode the quality of their life terribly will say to you that, you know, their lives are no longer completely controlled by what's going on with their back.
We're talking
over
with
time, over days, weeks, and months, and even years, you can actually reclaim your body to a remarkable degree, whether it's back pain or headaches or, you know, all sorts of different kinds of conditions. And that includes, of course, you know, conditions having to do with the heart and other organ systems as well.
We're honored to be talking with Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn. He's coming to Charlottesville this Friday at Old Cabell Hall at the University of Virginia, where he'll be speaking from 7 to 9 p.m. That's Friday, March 12th, 7 to 9, an event that's free and open to the public.
Do you have a title for that talk, by the way? I can't remember whether I gave them one.
Arriving at Your Own Door.
Oh, yes. Okay, that's good. That's a very good title for it. What arriving at your own door basically means is that finally, sometimes after decades, you reconnect with who you know that you've been all along, but were too busy to actually get in touch with. You know that feeling that sometimes you can sort of go for days and weeks and sometimes even months or years without really connecting with your own heart in a deep way.
What mindfulness
is about is saying, hey, you don't need to worry about the past and whether that's been true for you in the past, because right now is always the right moment for reconnecting with who you actually are.
It's almost like sometimes when I'm driving home, I'll go for miles and all of a sudden I'll go, gosh, how did I get here?
Oh, right. Well, that's a very common phenomenon that we're actually not paying attention, which is a little bit scary on the road when you go by your exit because your mind was just not in the car at all.
But you can live your life that way.
Well, yeah. And that reminds me that, you know, back in the 80s, I trained the U.S. Olympic rowing team in mindfulness because this is not like driving a car, but when your mind leaves the boat in the middle of a race, the boat slows down. And if you've got eight big guys or big women in the boat pulling on oars and one little person yelling at them to pay attention. If they really do learn to cultivate mindfulness, it's almost as if all of those nine bodies and their minds and their intention become one, and then the boat moves through the water much more effectively.
Now, before I let you go, I've got to ask a very American question.
Yeah, sure.
How much time do I need to devote to this before you start seeing
some... That's the best American question, yeah.
You know, what do I need to put into this?
My answer would be, in part, no time at all. Because the present moment, in a very real way, and I'm not trying to be flippant about it, is outside of time. So you could say that, you know, in a very real way, and I'm speaking both metaphorically as well as literally, and I'll unpack this more in my talk, of course, in a very real way, we only have moments to live. And the question is, can we live any of them? And the more of them you live, the more time actually slows down and the more you feel integrated into it. Now, that said, it does require practice, and practice does deepen the whole process. And if you were taking the stress reduction clinic at the hospital, you'd have to carve out quite a bit of time in order to do it. But if you're just listening to me on the radio or and it strikes you in a certain way or you come to the talk, you'll see that it's not really about clock time, but you can take 10 minutes here or 20 minutes there or half an hour, and I have guided meditations that help people to get into the process, you know, on CDs and so forth. But the real question isn't time. The real question is love. It's like, how much do you love your life enough to give it back to yourself? When we get so busy that everything that we're doing is urgent, and very often the important and even the beautiful are really driven out, and it affects our bodies, our minds, our health, and our relationships.
Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn, he's coming to Charlottesville. He'll be at Old Cabell Hall this coming Friday night, March 12th, from 7 to 9 p.m., a public lecture and book signing. The event is free and open to the public. It's been a great honor to talk to you.
Oh, my pleasure to talk with you, and I'm really looking forward to coming back to Charlottesville. It's a wonderful community, and I'm very excited about the university becoming really strongly interested in developing mindfulness in terms of a lot of different leadership initiatives at the university and different professional schools and departments and so forth. It's
good
a very
stuff.
Exciting time.
Indeed.
Mindfulness in education and in higher education.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank
Take
you
care.
So much.
And enjoy Great. Charlottesville. Absolutely. Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn. You can check him out online, and you can join him this coming Friday night at Old Cabell Hall at the University of Virginia from 7 to 9.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.